E1. Number 14A.
We come now to the law of Christianity in absolute Christian science. So we take a new page and we know here that, can you read it? It's not really very good, huh, the pencil. That we have to do with principle in relationship to ideas. And now we know that the focus is now on ideas. Remember? But naturally, ideas always seen as from where they come from. Namely, they come from a principle. But the focus is on ideas. And ideas naturally cannot be symbolized by a synonymous term, because that's the very difference between a synonymous term and ideas. That principle is not idea, but the principle and idea is one. So, in order to symbolize the nature of idea, we have to see from where ideas come from, or really what is it that sustains ideas. So in order to describe ideas in relationship to their principle, in order to describe ideas in relationship to their origin, you can best describe it, as what Mrs. Eddy does, through life and love, because that's the best origin one can have, namely fatherhood and motherhood of ideas. So here we certainly find life and love in a completely different office than before, namely in the office of the origin of ideas, namely life and love. Can you see that? So in order to depict that ideas are the outcome of the principle, namely that ideas are the outcome of the father and motherhood of life, of being, we can symbolize it through life and love. So we make these two columns, life and love, and can ask ourselves now, what kind of qualities are necessary for life and love in order to show really the existence of an idea, of ideas? So the existence of an idea is, for instance, in life, secured by the very fact that life eternalizes every idea. You could take that middle line here, that middle vertical line here, really as the ideas, huh? And you ask now yourself, what is really sustaining these ideas? It's life that eternalizes not itself, huh? But the ideas. So life has here the quality of giving to every idea eternal existence. And in order to preserve that eternal existence, love will, through its motherhood sense, take the idea and preserve it. So you have life and love as qualities, one that really fathers. Life is fathering. Really, I don't like this fathering and fathering and mothering, because we should get away, really, from natural symbols and use as much exact or abstract symbols as possible. But because the human life is built a bit that way, and we talk a lot about father and mother and so on, we just can indicate it. But actually, what we should see is the quality of fathering and the quality of mothering that is necessary, and not just father and mother. So we have here a wonderful sense, in order that the ideas can exist, life is that which eternalizes every idea, and love takes it and preserves it. Or you can have that life maintains, that's what we have learned in life, and can see that love embraces or enfolds, I think that's it's a good term, huh? Enfolds, not unfolds, enfolds, takes it in. Or we could see that life really conserves. Life conserves. And usually it is conserved in a container because love comes along and contains it, huh? So that nothing gets lost. Contains. Or you can take that life is feeds. But love does something else. Love does not feed. Love nurtures. Or you can take that life really provides. Gives, provides, you see, supplies, gifts. But what love does is that when something is provided, it really accepts it, doesn't reject it. So love accepts. I should write a bit nicer. But I like to get my hand away under that hot bulb. Yes. Life upholds. Upholds or sustains. Sustains. And actually what love does, it protects it. Life could do something else, say it can promotes. But then when something is promoted, mother comes along and sees that it cares for it, cares, cherishes. All that tends it. And so we could take quite a number of these qualities. Now, can you see first something that under life you have all those qualities which perhaps you would have in your synonym study or under life? All these are qualities that are typical for life. Life eternalizes, maintains, conserves, feeds, provides, upholds, sustains, promotes, furthers, and so on. And you see that fatherhood sense of life. And under love you will have all those qualities like preserves, embraces, unfolds, contains, nurtures, accepts, protects, cares, cherishes, tends. These are all qualities which we used to have under our list of love when we were studying the synonymous terms. Now, can you see the place value of life and love in the way that they all have to do, they all have to do really with that central focus here on ideas. We said this vertical line is really ideas. And so all these qualities of life, you see, are qualities which indicate, not one of them indicates now the origin of the ideas. Say, they don't qualify as we had in the word the principle. They don't qualify this arrow here, namely the translation. They all qualify the activity of life in regard to the existence of the idea. Can you see that? These qualities like maintaining. Now you don't maintain the origin, you see. You maintain the outcome. You don't conserve the origin. You conserve the outcome. You don't feed the origin. You feed the outcome, the ideas. Life provides for whom? Not for the origin, for the ideas. Can you see what I want to point out? That these qualities under life all have its focus or its searchlight or its, what you call, not the spotlights, so to say, on ideas. What the origin does to its outcome. Or you have upholds. Now, life does not uphold itself. Life upholds its outcome, the ideas. It promotes not itself, you see, but it promotes the ideas. Can you see that these qualities under life here, that you couldn't put them under the synonymous term life in the word, you know? There in the word, where we had the word as creative impulsion, at that urge and drive and push. Can you see, these have nothing to do with upholding its creation. They all have to do with the nature of the origin. Life in the Christ had different qualities. Individual truths, specific truths, they all had to do with the way of selecting, of translating. They don't indicate anything here, life, as in Christianity, as upholding the existence of an idea. This is what I want to show. We have, therefore, say, on this level, we have three times the synonymous term life. And each time, the place value is completely different. Why? Because they appear in a different relation. What did you write down? Meaning is relational. The relation defines the nature of the synonymous term as it appears at a certain place. Can you see that? So that if we have a term like life, we certainly will see that life is a super symbol. But the moment it takes on a certain place value within the structure of being, then the accentuation of that synonymous term, like life, is always different. And when one knows that, then one has a much more structured sense of it, a much more deeper insight into reality than if you just talk about life. And you can think about life what you like to think about life. It's unstructured. And so it is, say, with love. See, here in the word, with love, we had a sense that love means that the origin has built into it, its origin a goal. That the origin is right from the beginning a perfect origin, out of which only perfection can flow. And so we had complete and perfect and fulfilled qualities which we don't have in love in the Christ. There we had completely different qualities, like adaptability, like serving the purpose, like meeting the need. All those qualities which had that snuggly sense of love that just adapts itself rightly. It's just fitting itself rightly to a situation. But when we come to love here now in Christianity, you can see that completely different qualities are being brought out. Namely, all those qualities, again, which have to do with the existence of the ideas. That love preserves. It doesn't preserve itself. It preserves not the origin. It preserves the outcome, the idea. There is preservation. You have embracing. You can only embrace if you have ideas. Only when there are ideas, you can have a sense of embracing. You can't embrace yourself. See? The origin couldn't embrace itself. Contain means that you have a container, that you have something to embrace and to, yeah, what shall you say, to bring in, huh? Therefore it is all, has all to do with ideas, that the ideas are contained in love. Nurturing, you nurture the idea, you don't nurture the origin. Accepts, well, love does not accept itself, it accepts its idea, its child. Further, we have here, protects. Well, love doesn't protect itself. It protects its child. So, everywhere you can really, that line that goes right down, you can put in the child, really, here, or man. I don't like it. Really, it's the ideas. Huh? But if we put it into human connotation, symbolism, it's really that life and love, the father and mother, really are responsible for the existence of the child, that line. Huh? So just think in that human symbolism and we find really the answer. Mm-hmm. So you see suddenly quite definite characteristics of life and love receive now their true place, their true place value. And you can feel it in your bones that these qualities here you couldn't put into the word. Or could you? Just wouldn't feel good. Huh? Just would not feel harmonious. Huh? And you see, I think what's the beauty about it is that somehow you find your authority within you and within the system. See, the system tells you now that the system is the authority which allows you to put this idea into certain categories and not into other categories. It's no more a teacher, a person. It's no more me that tells you are not allowed to put these ideas here or not the other way. But it's the system itself that is becoming the authority of your understanding, and that should make every student independent, finally, of a teacher, or at least would show that each one finds the authority within his scientific, structured understanding of being. Now, if we only would have an atomistic sense of these synonymous terms, just as we had them at the beginning, that's the way how we started, we didn't know anything better. At the beginning, say in the 30s, 40s, when we were just studying with the textbook, those characteristics which would characterize a synonymous term, then we just had a whole list, but no structure in it. So a synonymous term was not structured in our consciousness. It was atomistic. And so therefore, if we were thinking about something where we wanted to give a treatment and felt it has to do with life, well, we were just thinking about life, about all these ideas which somehow were on our list as characteristics of life. And you can see that that was completely atomistic. It served its purpose, a very big purpose, namely that we really know our synonymous terms. We really know them. But we knew them for a long time only in an atomistic way. It's only when we began to see this chart as the model of being, therefore where we began to see categories, that we began to put structure into these synonymous terms, like as you have it here. Here it is very clear how you just wouldn't feel at ease. It would just give you a sense of discord in your spiritual consciousness if you would put, say, these ideas of life here in Christianity into the word in Absolute Christian Science. Just wouldn't sound well. And so it is with these in love. And you can see what this law does. See, how could we describe what the law is all about, what its purpose is? And I would say it shows really how this law is the law of eternalization of the idea. It's really that law which gives us a sense, what consciousness do we have to entertain in order to see that any idea, of all the ideas, that any idea that come to us, that any idea that is real, have eternal quality, have an eternal existence. And we would do that by seeing that each idea is constantly being fathered by life and mothered by love. Namely, that we would constantly see that in consciousness we entertain the fact that life is constantly eternalizing its ideas. It does eternalize this idea by constantly maintaining these ideas, by upholding this idea, by sustaining this idea, by really conserving these ideas. All that is here that promotes the idea, feeding the idea. And you just get the terrific sense that life is that which constantly floods and floods and floods the idea. With all what life has, it floods it. And love would come and say, but that overflooding of life is something that I'm going to preserve, that I'm going to contain and embrace and accept, to protect so that it never will get lost. And so if I entertain that consciousness, I have a terrific sense that the universe of ideas is constantly fed by life and therefore nourished and protected by love. And you see, I was talking about ideas, the universe of ideas. I wasn't talking about men and the universe. Nobody in here has ever said anything about men because we are talking about the synonymous terms. But actually what they do, these ideas, are the only reality that exists. And we can easily leave aside the term man and universe, because the realm of ideas is just as good, or even better. Because what do we want to be eternalized? Ideas. We don't want people to be eternalized. Anyway, I don't want it. I don't want bodies to be eternalized. When they get 90 and 100, it's anyway not very agreeable for those bodies. What's the use of eternalizing them if they... Well, let's stop it. It's too tragic, the whole thing. What we really want to see is that divine ideas, divine values are eternalized, that they survive, that they are really conserved and preserved, that they are really provided for and accepted and protected, then we don't even ask about man and me and the universe. Because the whole realm, the realm of Christianity, which we are speaking here, is the realm of ideas. That's Christianity, it's the realm of ideas. And that realm of ideas cannot exist per se, because ideas are the ideas of its principle. Therefore, they must constantly be upheld by principle and preserved by love. When I was talking about it, something else went through my mind and I put it off. I got it. You see, when we have here life, and we feel that life, say, provides the ideas, well, naturally, this is only the, how should I call, the place value of life here. But what, when you must really ask further and say, well, life provides, and you can easily say it provides with what? Not only the very fact that it does provide and uphold and maintain and sustain, but you ask, what does life provide?